The next matter is In Re Interest of Maya C. We've got some people coming and going here, so let's just wait a second. Next matter is In Re Interest of Maya C. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Laura Lowe, appearing on behalf of appellant David Murphy. We're here today on an appeal taken from the Juvenile Court of Lancaster County, Nebraska, in which Mr. Murphy's rights to his two minor children, Latoya and David, were terminated. It's our position that the state failed to meet its burden of showing that Mr. Murphy was unfit to parent his children or that it was in their best interest that his rights be terminated. We're asking that this court find that the juvenile court was in error and reverse and remand the decision terminating Mr. Murphy's parental rights. This case started as an educational neglect case. The allegations were against Ann Bear, who is Mr. Murphy's live-in partner, and they were involving Ms. Bear's child, Maya C. We're not here today about Maya C. Really, it's just an ancillary matter how things got started in this case. That was in October of 2012. There was an adjudication in December and then services put into the home. And that's when really the problem started for Mr. Murphy because of issues with inappropriate parenting, excessive violence as far as verbal or physical abuse, and the children had dirty clothes. And so the state filed a petition against Mr. Murphy and Ms. Bear based on those allegations. There was an adjudication in April of 2013 finding that the children didn't have a safe and stable home. They had dirty children, and on one or more occasion, Mr. Murphy had verbally, emotionally, or physically abused one of the children. The court's disposition order in this case then ordered Mr. Murphy to participate in a psychological evaluation. He did that. The recommendations were for him to have individual therapy focused on anger management, parenting skills, improving his parenting skills, and improving his relationship with Ms. Bear.
Is there anything that the court ordered that Mr. Murphy did not do other than keep consistent visitation?
Mr. Murphy was not able to attend all the children's doctor's appointments. We will concede that. He was working. He was working full-time. He was the main provider for the home. The family depended on his income. The other parent was at home, could attend those appointments. Just like any other couple where you have children, you have to work it out where one of you can go and one of you goes to work to earn the money to maintain the household. That's what happened here. On occasions when Mr. Murphy did go, for instance, to Latoya's vocational rehabilitation at Leaps and Bounds, only one parent was permitted to work with the therapist there, and the other one had to sit and watch. So we're with the choice here. Mr. Murphy goes and sits and watches, or he goes to work and earns the income needed to support this household. And that's what happened. Mr. Murphy, if he had the children with him, if he would have even been given the opportunity after he separated with Ms. Bear, which was late in the case after termination of parental rights had been filed or near or about that time, if he would have been provided some services to assist him, then he could have figured that all out as a single parent. That's what we do in these cases, provide some services to get you in a routine of now being a single parent. That would be a reasonable expectation. There is a double standard in this case. We have foster parents who aren't even making the appointments or taking the children to the appointments, yet we're expecting Mr. Murphy to take off work when there's another parent at home that could go to the appointments. And there's just a double standard, and I would submit that that led to some confusion about what doctor's orders were and those, and kind of a delay in getting information to Mr. Murphy so he could provide the services that were being recommended for the children. Because we got the foster care specialist relaying it to the foster parent, relaying it to a visitation worker, then, or the caseworker, and then it gets to Mr. Murphy. So I think those are things that could have been figured out. What the crux of this case is that Mr. Murphy did his therapy. His therapist, Dr. Jay Carmer, says Mr. Murphy made significant progress in addressing his anger management, dispute resolution, parenting skills. Dr. Carmer had all the visitation notes. The visitation worker is saying Mr. Murphy has good parenting skills. The children respond to him. They love him. There's a bond with him. He's doing the things, the other things in the court's order, that very well. And just because the children were out of home 15 or 22 months, we'll concede that. There's still a burden on the state to prove that Mr. Murphy's unfit and that it's in the children's best interest. And it's our contention that the state did not prove that, given the facts in this case, which that analysis, is, as this court is well aware, is very fact-specific. And it's our position that the facts speak for themselves. And this is a situation much like In re Nicole M., where the mother's rights were terminated, and the court upheld that, but the father's rights were not terminated. And it's a similar type of a situation. Father was working full-time. He was providing for the household. He was exercising his parenting time and working with the children well, very much like Mr. Murphy. The Supreme Court overturned the order terminating Tom's rights in Nicole M., because he had shown that he was making progress in the court-ordered services, and there was no showing that he would, the facts were insufficient to show, by clear and convincing evidence, that he was unfit to parent his children, and that the if he was unfit, that that was in some way a detriment to the children. And that's the same situation in this case. There's no showing of that.
You know, we have the proposition of law that children shouldn't languish in the system, that they need some permanency. So given that the dad in this case makes significant process, he does or progress, he does everything that's required of him, it's that visitation that he can't get to because he's working. So when does it get better?
Well, if Mr. Murphy has an opportunity, first of all, to have different time frame to have his visitation, where it would be maybe later in the day, I think there was probably testimony, and throughout this case, it was trying to figure out to work with the foster parents and their schedule for the children, and then to have the children with Mr. Murphy and/or Ms. Bear. If he would have been given the opportunity to really set up a plan and a schedule that he himself could have some control over, then he was more than willing to do that. He was more than willing to set up the services that were required.
It sounds like, though, from even his employer who testified, that his schedule, I mean, he's kind of at the mercy of the hospitality industry. Even though he's scheduled to get off at a certain time, if his boss needs him, he's the guy that has to stay. So how long do we wait? I mean, it seems to me when I read through this, it's not going to get any better for him until he finds a different job.
Well, that may or may not be true. We don't really know that. He wasn't even given the opportunity to try to figure it out. He found informal supports to assist him that would be able to pick up the children. He found a daycare provider that was close to his work that was open later so that that wouldn't be an issue where he wasn't there to pick up the child at daycare at 5 o'clock or whatever. He made the effort to find those things, those services and supports, that so that he could be successful at being a single parent. And granted, he would have to figure it out. That's something that was new that developed late in the case. But he was willing to do so. And the fact of the matter is that he made significant progress on the adjudicated issues in this case. He could have been provided additional services to help him be successful with the children as a single parent. And the issues of childcare, like services like Title 20 would have been available to him to assist financially. Children would be on Medicaid. He wouldn't have to provide the expensive health insurance that the department was making him provide for the children, which was ludicrous. And it cut away from the resources, but he was able to maintain his home, provide for the children, and he was doing the absolute most that he could manage given the services that he was being provided.
To get those other services that you mentioned, though, does he not have to have custody of the children?
He does have to have.
So how do we get to giving him custody if we can't get over the hump of his inability to make it to his visitation because of work? And
well,
how much time do we give him to do that?
I think that there would have been more flexibility for Mr. Murphy in the scheduling if we would have been at least a monitored visitation. He doesn't require a visitation worker there all the time. Mr. Murphy testified that he was willing and able and ready in his mind with some supports in place to have the children returned to him on the last day of trial.
I've taken you over. But in this situation, where it starts in 2012, but he's with his partner at the time, is it more appropriate to look at look at his continual progress, but look at the time frame of June or July when they separate to the date of trial, or all the way back to 2012 to the trial?
I think that when you look at the case as a whole, Mr. Murphy continued to make progress even after the parties separated. For a time, he continued in the home that he had shared with Ms. Bear, and then they flip-flopped. Ms. Bear needed to be in that residence. Mr. Murphy found a new residence of his own. He's trying to figure that out, rearrange visitation schedules, because the visitation schedule that was working then was separated out. Ms. Bear had hers and Mr. Murphy had his. And so he's trying to, so now that's a change that he's trying to figure out. I think that he was really doing his best and he's continued to make progress in this case. And it's our position that that the state just did not prove by clear and convincing evidence that Mr. Murphy was unfit or that it was in the best interest of the children. Mr. Murphy rights, and he should have more time to figure these things out and have enough his children.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You may step back. How much time did we take her over? Would you please add that time to the state's argument time? You're free to use the extra time if you'd like, but you're not required to.
Duly noted.
Good morning.
May it please the court. My name is Lori Passel. I represent the state of Nebraska in this matter. While Latoya and David Jr., two young children, waited for 21 months in foster care, their father, David, failed to prioritize their needs and put forth the effort that he needed to correct the issues that led to the children's placement in foster care in the first case.
Would you agree he's made substantial steps?
I wouldn't, Your Honor. I would point to the fact that although his therapist, Dr. Carmer, had indicated he made substantial progress, the trial court, placed, and in his order stated that he didn't find those statements credible based on all of the issues that had been going on during that time. And I would ask the court to give some deference to the fact that Judge Ryder was there listening to not only Dr. Carmer, but all of the evidence presented in this case. And I know this court has to review this de novo on the record, but the court still can give deference to the trial court in terms of the credibility of the witnesses. And so I guess I would disagree with the proposition that he made a substantial, significant progress in this case. For the 21 months that these children were in an out-of-home placement, Mr. Murphy was required to do counseling, and throughout the course of this case, he did not regularly attend that counseling. There were many times that he missed his appointments. Some were for work reasons. Some were for claimed transportation issues, although throughout the life of this case, the Department of Health and Human Services provided bus passes, taxi, or cab passes. The Department of Health and Human Services provided family support in order to help him gain parenting skills. I want to talk a little bit about his lack of attendance to Latoya's therapy and medical appointments.
Before you do that, I've got to go back to subsection 6 so that I'm clear on what you're talking about. The court found, based upon the fact that they didn't find some of the testimony to be credible, at least the way I understood it, that the child did still come under subsection 6, and that the father did not correct the conditions leading to the 3A determination. What specific items did he, do you think he did not do?
Well, I would, again, suggest to the court that one of the major components in this case is the fact that either these children were subjected to witnessing, or one of their siblings, the two older children in this case, were subjected to inappropriate, aggressive, verbal behavior, physical discipline. And one of the main things that he was asked to do was this individual therapy. He looked throughout the course
But wasn't there testimony that he had changed the way he was doing discipline, and that's the testimony you're saying is not credible?
There was testimony that he had been provided parenting classes or skills throughout the course of family support, and that he had been given other techniques. I would concede that. I would also...
And that he was implementing them.
And that's what he said that he was doing, yes.
Well, and there were other witnesses that said that they'd observed him.
Yes.
So is that correct?
Yes. We also had... It's a difficult situation because these two children's older siblings were older, and because of their age and their perhaps bad behavior, they were more subject to the potential poor discipline and acting out of Mr. Murphy. We had a year and a half old and a baby at the time of the removal.
But the older children are really not part of this except for subsection 2.
Right.
And so I understand how subsection 2 fits into this, but I'm looking at subsection 6, and I'm looking for what did he not do to correct the situation? What's your best argument on what he did not do?
Well, my best argument is he did not attend his therapy regularly. He did not do his visits regularly.
But he did attend.
He did.
And he did learn something.
He did.
And you conceded that.
But by failing to do all of those things in a timely and consistent manner, his children, by the time of childless case, had been out of home for 21 months. And it's now that failure to do it.
That's 7. I want to deal on 6. What on 6 did he not... Is all you're saying that he... Well, first of all, there's the visitation. He didn't keep real good with those. And then the counseling, are those the two things that you're hanging out?
Well, and I would also point out that there were visits in which he refused to bathe the children. There were visits in which he did not properly keep the food log. And I want to, that happened both during the period of time when the parents were together and that period of almost 5 months in which the parents had split up leading up to the termination in this case. He didn't always have the proper food for the children. He didn't keep a proper food log. And that was something that was not asked of by the foster parents or concocted by the Department of Health and Human Services as a test to see what he would do. That was something that was required by these children's physician.
And once that was explained to him?
He said, I don't believe it. He said, I think this is something that you're telling me to do, or this is something the foster family is telling me to do. And they tried to explain to him, no, this is what the children's doctor is saying needs to be done. And he wouldn't believe it, and he refused or didn't fully do it in the way that was expected. And the problem is, the reason he didn't know about it is because he didn't attend the children's doctor's appointments.
Because they're scheduled during his work time.
Pardon me?
Because they're scheduled during his work time. And what about the double standard, where the foster parents aren't going to everything, they're sending a support worker. So why is it okay for that to happen, but it's not okay for the parent?
Because Mr. Murphy is the parent in this case. Mr. Murphy is the one who is trying to correct the situation to get his children back. These foster parents have stepped up to provide care for these children. If they can't make an appointment, that's a very different, I guess, lens in which you look at what they're doing with what this parent who's trying to get his children back to his care. So there's no evidence the foster parents weren't providing proper care for the children.
So does the record show that when these doctor's appointments were made, that the father was asked what will work for you and that those accommodations were made? Or were they, does the record show that the appointments were made and he was told to be there?
I'm not sure that the records will clear on that.
Does it make a difference?
I don't think it makes a complete difference when we're looking at the record in this case, in which he only attended one out of this almost 2-year time period.
But part of that was, one, because he thought his partner was going to them.
Right.
So can we really hold that against him?
I think you can, because both of these parents needed to parent. Both of these, we had a gentleman who was, because of work, saying he couldn't or chose not to go. He has to then rely on what other people are telling him about what the doctors are expecting in terms of care for his children. But then he refuses to do the things that the doctors are asking because he doesn't believe what the people have told him. I'd point out in the record when Mr. Murphy was asked, well, why did your daughter even go to Leaps and Bounds for this therapy? He couldn't articulate why. She was there. This was a child who had been diagnosed as failure to thrive, that she had specific needs as it related to her speech and her other development. And he wasn't even able at the time of trial in this case to articulate why she even needed to be there. I would submit to the court that there were a lot of services provided, and while he kind of limped along and participated on some minimal level with some of these services, more in terms of the visitation, we never even got to a point in which the trial court felt comfortable lowering his parenting time, the level of supervision of his parenting time, to a more monitored parenting time.
And didn't the caseworker testify that the only reason she didn't suggest a lower level or more visitation was because of the inconsistency in his attendance at visitation?
I think that was what the current caseworker who was most recently in the case testified to. I would also point out, as it relates to that, he suggested that his work schedule was an impediment to the visitation, and his employer backed that up on some level. But there's also testimony that the current caseworker, Ms. Miles, said, okay, well, if you can't be there at 7, then let us know, and we'll push it back to 8 o'clock or whatever the time frames were. But Mr. Murphy, over and over again, chose to just forego the supervision. And so the department was trying to work with him, being cognizant of the fact that he was working and had to try to juggle that with, at this point now, being a single parent. I would suggest to the court that not only is it in these two children's best interest to have Mr. Murphy's parental rights terminated because he failed to correct the adjudicated issues, because they've been in foster care for so long, but that the evidence also suggests that he was an unfit parent, or is an unfit parent, because of his inability to provide for the children during the visitation, to even articulate what their needs are after such a long period of time in jurisdiction of the court.
Further questions? Thank you very much. You may step back. I don't believe the appellant has any time left. Very well. Thank you very much for being here today. Matters deemed submitted, and you are excused. The next matter is In Re Interest of Gavin. Still have people coming and going here, so we'll wait just a couple moments. The next matter is In Re Interest of Gavin. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Your Honor, initially I would like to indicate that I represent the appellant, and by agreement, we've been given 15 minutes. Okay. What I'd like to do with my time is take 10 minutes, reserve two of those. So I'll have 8 minutes and then reserve two of those. And then call it 5 minutes.
And we'll have the two of you go first, and then we'll have the state follow. And then you'll have a chance for rebuttal.
Very good.
Okay? Thank you. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Lisa Lozano. I represent the appellant in this matter, Lacey Statler, who is a mother of two young boys who are the subject of this action.